Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Salini-Impregilo 2018 earnings conference call. Our call today is hosted by Pietro Salini, Chief Executive Officer, together with Massimo Ferrari, CFO and General Manager. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Pietro Salini. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this conference call dedicated to Salini-Impregilo full year 2018 results. I am Pietro Salini, Chief Executive of Salini-Impregilo, and I will give a few words about our performance last year, as well as our plans for the future, before letting Massimo Ferrari go into further detail. The first thing I would like to do is speak briefly about the main achievement of our group. We strengthened our position as a global player by continuing to lower our risk profile with the diversification of our portfolio at a geographical level. This means a greater performance of our revenues are coming from stable, reliable countries. We completed a general cleanup of our balance sheet, improving the quality of capital invested. We preserved the group financial solidity and maintain a sound equity structure. We will return later to this point with more details. This achievement will enable us to lay the foundation for a new project of growth. Relaunching the sector is a priority for our country, and Salini-Impregilo is ready to create a player that, at both national and international level, will be able not only to support the further development of the country infrastructure, but also compete successfully in the international markets. We can achieve this thanks to our experience, expertise, and operational efficiency in this highly complex sector. The main economic and financial results of 2019, which are expected to be prudentially substantially in line with those of 2018, are the basis for the drafting of a new industrial plan. This plan will include, among other things, the aggregation of key players and selected projects in Italy infrastructure sector. We will present the details of this plan to the market later this year. In the said guidance, we do not factor in transformational projects like the high-speed train Houston-Dallas and other large-scale projects like the ones we are currently following and bidding for in Australia and Middle East. Those projects may have a positive impact into 2019 results. Let us now move on slide four to review our business performance in 2018. There was a boost into the order intake in the second half of the year as we participated in several public tenders and made progress in private negotiations, several of which we are looking to complete soon. The total new orders acquired in 2018 amounts to 6 billion. Total orders acquired into the last 5 years amount to more than 33 billion. As for the construction backlog, we have exceeded the very respectable threshold of 26 billion euros. What is more, the quality of this backlog has significantly improved thanks to a careful selection of the project that we bid for. Although the United States remain our single biggest market by revenue, you will have noted how we have been expanding in other markets such as Europe, where we won two contracts in France, and Australia, where billions of dollars has been invested into the infrastructure projects. On slide five, let's take a look at the evolution of our market presence in terms of revenues over time. 4 years ago, we were mostly concentrated in Europe and Africa. Back in 2014, those two regions made up more than half of our total revenues. There was also Latin America at 14%, while our presence in the United States was limited to a mere 3%. Today, the weight of Europe and Africa has halved to 24%, while the United States has come to represent 26% and the Middle East 29%. Thanks to this diversification, we have been able to reduce risk associated with revenue concentration in few big projects. As we can see in next slide six, the bulk of the commercial pipeline in the short term comes from the United States, Middle East, and Asia, Australia. We are focusing on these three regions because of their economical outlook, the very promising outlook on infrastructure spending, and the lower risk environment. On slide seven, as previously mentioned, during 2018, we completed the cleanup process of the balance sheet in order to improve the quality of the assets. In 2 years period, almost 700 million on asset write-off, which represent a potential upside in the future. We reimbursed the first tranche of advance payment from Panama Canal Authority and the bank debt of the Yuma concession in Colombia. Massimo Ferrari will elaborate on this point afterwards. Notwithstanding various one-off repayment, a further write-down of our Venezuelan asset for some 165.5 million, another minor write-down, we preserved our financial solidity, keeping gross debt in line in 2017 figures and improving the group equity structure. All of these measures have prepared Salini Impregilo for a future growth that we have in front of us. On slide eight, in Italy, the problems faced by the infrastructure sector are too severe to ignore. A solution for this strategic sector must be found because it concerns about 34 billion euros of revenues, representing up to 8% of the country's gross domestic product. In terms of employment, it is responsible for more than 170,000 jobs. As you well know, the sector is going through a severe crisis, mostly due to a decline in investment since 2008. The sector is highly fragmented, with more than 7,000 companies competing for many of the same projects. There is also a high level of indebtedness among many of these companies. This is why Salini Impregilo has decided to launch a project to help with the consolidation of the sector. With Progetto Italia, or Project Italy, we want to create a larger industry player. By bringing together the forces of the country's two biggest companies, the entire market would benefit from economies of scale, ensure execution continuity and delivery of critical infrastructure for our country, cost and commercial synergies, greater investment capabilities, and stronger resilience to potential market downturns. We have already begun the process of consolidation. In February of this year, we submitted an offer for saving 65% of Astaldi. We would do this by means of a reserved capital increase equal to 225 billion euros. Our offer is obviously subject to an approval of Astaldi proposal to the court, regulatory approval, the support of the banks, and the participation of long-term investors into the capital increase. The completion of the potential transaction is expected by 2020. I now give the floor to Massimo Ferrari, who will go into the details of our 2018 results.
Thank you, Pietro, and good morning, everybody. Let's review more in detail our 2018 financial performance, starting with some comments on the top line and margin performance. Normalized figures presented in slide 10 have been adjusted for the write-down of about 165 million of our Venezuelan exposure and include the results of Lane's JVs and plant and paving business line by line. In addition, for a better comparison, revenues, EBITDA, and EBIT for 2017 in currency other than the euro have been restated by applying the average exchange rate for 2018. For the sake of clarity, we have also reported the adjusted figures that exclude the impact of plants and paving, whose disposal was completed in December 18. Normalized figures in 2018 amounted to 6 billion, in line with 2017. Revenues was affected by a slowdown in two key projects in Italy and Ethiopia. As it is already known to the market, in 2018, the fifth construction lot for the Milano-Genova high-speed train has been activated with a delay of about 6 months. This raised the amount of works and activity financed under construction to 3.8 billion, an increase of 1.1 billion euros compared to the lots already active, and we expect the project to pick up pace in 2019. The second key project in Italy that was unexpectedly delayed, IRICAV, which concerns the start of high-speed train line in the northeast of Italy, received the good news in July, but it is still it still needs further approvals. Normalized EBITDA stood at approximately 436 million, compared with 534 million in 2017. Normalized EBITDA margin was 7.3% against 8.8% in 2017. Normalized EBIT amounted to 248 million versus 279 million registered in 2017. Normalized EBIT margin was 4.1% against 4.6% in 2017. Let me remind you that the results for the full year 2017 benefited from a one-off item related to the resolution of a litigation in Turkey for around 30 million EBITDA level. Moving on to slide 11, adjusted of one-off write-down of Venezuela asset, net income stood at 180 million versus 107 million in 2017, plus 68% versus the prior year. Net financial costs improved significantly compared to 2017, with net financial charges around 73 million compared to 193 million in 2017. Financial charges for 142 million compared to 135 million of 2017 reflect the write-down of financial receivables for some 30 million carried out during the year, of which 11 million related to Yuma concession in Colombia. These effects were mostly offset by the reduction in interest on bank debt and the related amortized cost of approximately 21 million following the refinancing of debt completed in 2017, which led to the application of more advantageous interest rates. Forex gains were worth 13 million compared to 123 million loss of the previous year. The change is mainly due to the performance of the euro against the US dollar and the Ethiopian birr. On this point, let me remind you that despite short-term swings, profit and loss resulting from exchange rate fluctuations end up being neutral through the long run. Let me also remind you that gain on investment in 2017 reflects the revaluation of our stake in Autopista del Sol, the concession in Buenos Aires in Argentina, by 83 million. Finally, the strong improvement in net income was driven by the capital gain earned from the plant and paving disposal of about 95 million. Moving to the slide, to slide 12, we represented the bridge of the adjusted net income, which grew from for more than 65%. As Pietro mentioned, following the developments during 2018, we further wrote down our exposure in Venezuela by 165 million. This was in addition to the 315 million already written down previously, for a combined total of 480 million, which represents 75% of our total exposure. Following these write-downs, the group's overall exposure is equal to 160 million, 25% of the nominal value of the total exposure. Turning to slide 13, you can see the net financial position and the total gross debt. We kept the total gross debt at 2.3 billion, substantially at the same level as 2017. Going to further detail, as you can see in the gross debt bridge for 2018, we repaid 196 million of contractual advances previously received from the Panama Canal Authority following the arbitration ruling on December 12, 2018. Transferred to Yuma, the entity that holds the concession for the construction and the management of the Ruta del Sol motorway in Colombia, 47 million to repay its bank debt. Experienced a cash absorption from working capital, mainly due to delays in payments in Ethiopia, of which a part, around 100 million, has already been paid in the first days of 2019, and a slowdown in some Italian projects, as mentioned before. Furthermore, we were expecting extraordinary cash-ins for 150 to 200 million in 2019 related to the disposal of Autopista del Sol and the cash-in from FIBE, which have been postponed last year. Moving on to slide 14, let's take a look at corporate debt. The refinancing allowed us to push back 85% of our debt maturities, which will now start from 2021. Our cost of debt stood at an outstanding level of 2.5%. Moving on to slide 15, our expansion in the U.S. market through Lane Construction continues. As Pietro told you earlier, indeed in 2018, Lane closed the record year both for orders and backlog with a growth of 14% and 35% respectively compared to 2017. With this sale, we refocused Lane on our group's core business, becoming our North American hub for large complex infrastructure projects. Lane has a new business model. It is focusing on road, train, water, and tunneling projects. Furthermore, the process of rationalizing overhead costs is ongoing. In 2018, savings of 50 million were accomplished with full effect on 2019. 3% of target EBIT margin is expected on the long run during the business plan period. Lane is also focusing on special mega projects such as Texas Bullet Train, a 15 billion investment for a 240 mile high speed train between Dallas and Houston, and the outcome is expected in 2019. Despite the repayments made in the cases of Colombia and Panama, our financial structure remains solid. In the case of the arbitration ruling issued on December 12, 2018, the International Chamber of Commerce of Miami rejected a request made by the Grupo Unidos por el Canal Consortium to postpone the return of contractual advances and advances for variation orders that it had received from the Panama Canal Authority for a total of 8 $136 million. Salini Pagillo's pro quota contractual advances were equal to $217 million, and they were paid with cash at the end of 2018. The remaining pro quota amount for variation orders, equal to $117 million, was paid in February 2019. So we have already repaid such amounts. Nothing is left without affecting financial solidity. However, we shouldn't forget that we still have under arbitration $5.2 billion. And I'm talking always about 100% of the consortium and the consortium taken as a whole. So we believe that the court decisions should be expected in 2020 and 2023 approximately. So all positive resolutions will have a positive impact both on our cash flow and on our economics. Yuma Concessionary holds the concession for the construction and management of the Sector 3 of the Ruta del Sol motorway in Colombia, and the bridge loan for a total amount of $152 million, originally granted as expired January 15, 2018. As a result, Salini Pregillo paid the entire amount of $81.4 million to the banks as at February 2019. The amount paid in 2018 was $47 million. We have ongoing negotiation to restart the work in Colombia. I leave the floor to the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Giuseppe Marcella with Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks to take my questions. I have three. First one is on your guidance. You mentioned flat numbers during 2019. Can you please clarify which is the starting point with or without the plans and pavings?
Not close to the microphone.
Okay, I try to. Is it
No, no, unfortunately, no.
Okay, let's try this way.
That's
This is
perfect.
okay. This is
Perfect.
perfect.
Okay. Thank you. So, my first question is on guidance. You mentioned flat numbers during 2019. Can you please clarify which is the starting point? Just to be clear, is 5.4 billion sales, 400 EBITDA, 2-to-1 adjusted EBIT, or what? Second is on your net financial position. End of the year, it was relatively high, and you have a seasonal negative cash generation during H1. Do you feel comfortable you can afford the cash absorption during H1 without your available resources? And third question, in terms of strategy, of course, the focus on Italy is a big strategic shift compared to the past. I've never read statements on value creation in your comments. So my question is, do you think that you can manage the new strategic course with the current governance and the controlling structure of the group, or do you plan any change? Thanks.
So regarding guidance, of course, we're talking about the starting point, which is after the plants and paving disposal, so it's 5.4, the adjusted figures that were under examination, and this means that these are the figures you have to refer to. So this, I think, is all for the first questions.
Yeah.
For the first half liquidity, I will leave the floor to Massimo, if you can expand, Massimo.
If you can answer.
I can answer before to the strategic shift you are talking to regarding Italy. So I don't say that this is a strategic change. I mean that consolidation of the sector for us means opportunities. And the need of consolidation of Italy means opportunity of growth in markets which are not only Italy, of course. Astaldi is not an Italian player only, but is also an international player. So we will have, with the Astaldi company, we will also have the opportunity to have people, which, as you know, is the most scarce resource that you can find around for competence and for doing things. So I think that the Astaldi acquisition and merging would be very beneficial for the company for the expansion into other areas. We need organization and organized people, and this is what Astaldi has to offer. Of course, there are a certain number of contracts in Italy, which Astaldi is pursuing actually, but these contracts are mostly contracts that we have both of us together. So it means that most of these contracts, more than half of the contracts in Italy, are done together, let's say, in this situation. And taking Astaldi would mean also to have a better control over the activity in Italy. The attention of the government that we are now facing in Italy on this infrastructure sector is also would be beneficial to these works. They finally, all the people at the government level understand the impact into employment and into the economy of the boosting of these works. So we expect some beneficial activity in this sense, even if prudentially we did not factor in this new possible boost to the sector into the figures of the guidance. We kept the same prudence and the same assumption on slowdown and delays that we have faced during 2018 in order not to be surprised and to make our calculation for the cash generation and revenues accordingly.
Okay, regarding the net financial position, the main gap between 2018 and the net financial position of 2017 come from some delay of payment coming from some countries, mainly Ethiopia. We got a huge payment on January the 3rd that was expected, of course, in 2018. So we expect to cash in the remaining receivable in the first half of 2019. Other question?
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Sì, salve. Buongiorno. Avrei tre domande. Allora, la prima è se possiamo ritornare appunto sulla guidance, sul
can,
tema
can
della...
Can you switch to English, Alessandro?
Sorry. Yes, I have three questions. Sorry. The first, if I may, the first one is on the... sales guidance. I understood, let's say, your cautious approach on Italy. What I would like to understand is if, for instance, you are already considering the small, let's say, acquisition you made of some Italian or part of some businesses like Cossi or GLF in Italy, and if you can also share with us any impact of this company acquired. Plus, if I understood well, you should also, let's say, have some positive, let's say, impact this year from FX. So just to better understand which assumption you made for this flattish, okay, top line in 2019. The second question is on the net debt side, on the gross debt side. If you still believe in a gross debt reduction in 2019, I remember that in the past you were guiding for, let's say, 2018-2019, a combined reduction of around €200 million. And if you can also give us an indication of the CapEx level in 2019. The last question is on the U.S. I understood that long-term, this is a business for you with the profitability, the 10%, 3% EBIT margin region. What about, let's say, today is a business close to breakeven, and what is also a level of revenues that you expect after the good, let's say, order collection you made last year? Thanks.
Okay, let's start about the financial position and what has affected the non-reduction, as you call it, of the gross debt. In this situation, apart from, of course, facing this cash out due to the Panama Canal and the Colombian activity, and you have to remember that into the business plan, most of the cash generation that were foreseen into the business plan was related to cash in from the past. Most of this thing, nothing of that thing has happened as in 2018. You remember there was the FIBE case and other things that were coming from the past. So these things have not happened so far, and we are positive that they should happen as soon as possible. We think that in 2018 we can of course cash in some of these things, even if in Italy it's very slow, the process of collecting this money from the past, which is where we have it. The same things applies to the arbitration in Panama. We were thinking that the arbitration would have given us results earlier, and for that reason, the cash-in of that money was to compensate the possible request from the client. In this case, it's not happened. It's happened the contrary. The other thing that has happened is, for instance, in Italy, we were facing the fifth lot that was expected to be approved into 2018, and this has also have meant would have meant another €90 million of cash coming out from the advances and that were related to that. So we think that can be positively, if it shifted in 2019, this would affect our accounts in 2019. Those are the figures that we expect for the, and why the production has not happened in 2018 as foreseen.
Okay.
Regarding the guidance, we do not include the effects of the ongoing acquisition, also because they are not much relevant in terms of consolidated account, because, for instance, GLF selling overseas is a subcontractor of Kosive, so it's already fully consolidated. There are some small upside on GLF USA and all the potential new business for Cossi that could be not only captive, but of course also real new market share in tunneling. But we do not include in the guidance nor in the business plan. This is why we are so shy in the guidance, because we need to perform the new industrial plan, including the other Italian companies and the potential also upside in terms of synergies, in terms of economy of scale, and so on. We are working on that. We are committed to disclose it in the coming months. Regarding the CapEx for 2019, mm-hmm. it's in a range between 40 and 50 million. We dramatically shifted the business model thanks to the higher quality countries where we are working on, because we can rely more and more on subcontractors. So the CapEx is going to reducing with this kind of business mix. Then regarding Lane, in the 2018 figures, it is slightly negative for the restructuring cost that we already started to accounted for, and we expected to be close to zero in 2019, and then to improve the marginality in 20 and 21 to achieve the target of 3% of EBIT.
Okay. So just if I understood well, CapEx is 40 to 50 million, is it right?
Okay.
And just a very small question, technicalities, let's say. The negative EBITDA or EBIT for the joint venture with Lane, are there any specific reason for that?
Let me check and then I give you the answer after. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
The next question is from Michael Sonnefeld with Ampega Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. I have a few questions on your short-term debt, please. And in particular, I'm referring to pages 13 and 16 of your press release. And what I see there is that the short-term debt of Salini Impregilo SPA of around 960 million is significantly higher than the short-term debt at consolidated group level of 555 million. Can you please briefly explain why this is the case? And then also why the bank overdraft at SBA level increased from 311 to 930 million? This is predominantly short-term debt. Will this also be refinanced at some stage? If you could give us some more color on that would be great.
Let me start with the first question. The difference between the separate account and the consolidated account come from intercompany debt between Salini, Impregilo SPA and Lane, because we got the cash in coming from the disposal of plant and paving as a credit in order to pay back Panama and Colombia and what we already mentioned before. And so Salini SPA has a debt, an intercompany debt with the fully owned company Lane.
And what's the amount of this intercompany debt?
It's around 400 million.
Okay. And these 930 million at SPA level, I would assume that this is predominantly provided then by Italian banks and this intercompany debt.
Yes,
is it refinanced at some stage or?
No, is intercompany because it comes mainly from the consortium in Italy, so from the rebate of the short-term debt that have the consortium. We can provide you more detail later on.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Guillaume Saint with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I had a couple, actually. One is, what's the total amount of overdue receivables that you're expecting from Ethiopia, and what caused the collection delays? And then the second question was, if you could provide us a bit more clarity on the cash flow generation in 2018, because I understand gross debt is slightly higher, and cash is down about a couple hundred million, despite, you know, collecting more than 500 million from the sale of the Lane unit. So that would imply a pretty meaningful cash burn, right?
Okay. The first question regarding the Ethiopian receivable that we still expect is around 200 million. 300 million, sorry. So we got 100 million on January the 3rd, and we still expect around 300 million. It's pretty seasonal. This kind of delay, also coming from the government calendar in Ethiopia, and so we, in the past, we have been always paid by the Ethiopian government. And we have so huge and strategic projects running in Ethiopia that we still have a strong commitment to cash in early. The cash generation, regarding the cash generation in 2018, in practical, we employed all the cash in coming from plant and paving for Panama and Colombia, and the delay in payment coming from Ethiopia and also the Italian projects generates this negative, this absorption of cash in 2018.
Thank you. And
Go ahead.
Sorry, and what's the amount of overdue receivables from Italy?
Oh, let me check. I can give the answer to Alessandro Totora regarding the JVs. There are some adjustment in some budget of big project where Lane has a minority stake. So the total effect in 2018 was minus 12 million.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Tortora with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. A very brief follow-up. If you can also, let's say, give us an idea of what we need to expect on the minorities side, close to the bottom line. I saw this number technically giving you some benefit. If you can explain to us the trend on the minorities side. Thanks.
We confirm what we told some years ago, that is a trend declining. The effect, the net effect in 2018 is positive 10 million because we have shared some losses in some projects in Middle East with some other partners, but the total effect is going to decline in the coming future.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Diego Affo with Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. Would it be possible to give us some guidance on what could be the impact on your cash position of the acquisition of Astaldi if it went to go ahead?
Well, this is a very good question. Thank you. The impact on the net debt would be none, in the sense that we are in our proposal we are requesting that all debts are being paid by the activity and assets of Astaldi, and in particular with the franchise in concessions and some assets coming from Venezuela and real estate in Italy. So there will be no debt remaining after the conversion in shares of the part of the debt of the bank that have lended money to Astaldi. This is what is foreseen in our proposal. So our proposal, as I remind you, it's represented by a capital increase of 225 millions that we are now negotiating in order to find the necessary partners for us to do that, and there will be no debt left on the company level. So in the contrary, we would have a large increase into the equity due to the assets remaining without debt after the write-off.
So let me add on that, because we are working on this project since second half 2018, that we are working on a project that has to be and will be accretive in terms of marginality, and it will not add debt, net debt to the combined company, and have to be accretive also in terms of equity, and all the ratio between, let me say, EBITDA and equity of the combined company will be improved in comparison with the one that we already got.
So the cash outflow should be limited to the 225 million of the equity in case you don't find any other partner?
Yes, that is our precedent condition to our offer, is that the capital increase will happen with the contribution of some financial and long-term investors other than Salini in Pregiva.
Okay. Yes, I think we can expand a little bit on that, because this is a curiosity that I find that that is, of course, interesting many, many investors. The idea that is underlying our plan is that, first of all, we have to strengthen Salini. It means that to be a larger partner, as you remind, most of the debt that we have inside our company is largely depending on the acquisition in the past. So it is not debt for financing the activity, but it's mostly coming from the past in terms of the acquisition that we have done in the time, first for Impregilo, and secondly for the Lane franchise. So what we need is in order to continue to grow and to be able to integrate other companies is that we need a strength in our equity. And this means a possibility for the financial investors to come in. As you know, the controlling company now owns more than 75% of the shares of the Salini Impregilo, which allows us to have projects of dilution with other financial partners coming in and strengthening the company and make all these new acquisition that we think they are very beneficial to the company. There, of course, this acceleration in growth due to Astaldi will allow us to reduce the footprint of the general expenses of the turnover, which means an increase into the EBIT that is going to offset the lesser EBIT that we find in less risky countries. The project of de-risking, which is what we are pursuing since the business plan that we announced 3 years ago, 2 years and a half ago, it is exactly this. It is to change our activities in countries which are more reliable, that are more cash producing, and with a cycle of cash shorter than the one we were used to. But this means also to accept a lower level of marginality in terms of EBIT at project, at site level. So it means that we have to increase our efficiency, reducing the general expenses and the costs that are additional to the project level, the cost of the corporation. And this means, first of all, size. So size, we think that we have done quite a growth in terms of size since the start of this project 2014, and and let's say the internal growth has a limit, as you say, people and organization and processes and whatever it is inside it, it is a lengthy process. So merger and acquisition is one of the possible reply to this need of lowering the general expenses and bettering the organization and the quality of the organization, which is costly, and this means size. So size means also the possibility of Astaldi and other companies to come inside. We call it Project Italy, but in reality it is not regarding only Italy, regards our ability to compete around the world in a more efficient way and to be on the market being competitive, but at the same time with a return in marginality which is interesting for us and for the investors. So I think this drives our plan now for our attention is focused in making this. We have done quite a number of merging and acquisition in the past, so I think that we demonstrated the ability to do it in a quick and efficient way. And we are confident that in the next coming, I don't say days because it's too bold, but let's say in the next coming weeks, we can have. It's a concrete result to announce to the market for this capital increase and for the operation as a whole in the Astaldi group. So we are looking forward to that because I think that the Astaldi group, their people, their projects are especially suitable to this project. And this will be very beneficial for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Jana Schuller with UniCredit. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good morning. I was wondering if you could remind us of your financial targets with all your M&A ambitions you have. Where do you see your net debt to EBITDA or gross debt to EBITDA in your plans going forward? Or rating targets, if you have.
Yes, of course, this is the main part of the new business plan, the updated business plan. We want to keep or to improve our rating. As you know, in the sector, there is only one player that has an investment grade rating and it is not a poor player in the construction. So we are very happy with the rating that we have. We want to improve it in the long run because of course we want to have better access to the capital market in the future. So we are working on that in the new business plan, also considering the M&A activity and the plan that we announced in the sector in Italy that has the target to improve all the ratios, not only gross debt EBITDA, but also equity EBITDA, equity revenues, equity with all the measures at risk that you can consider also in the financial sector.
So it's not going to be worse from the levels we have now, because so far it has only gone up and not down, although you have to target already for some time to improve your ratios and rating.
No, but the ratio that we Pietro Salini is speaking, is the ratio are going to change into the future. I told you about the size and about the equity which will be added to the company, and also the equity that will come out from the acquisition of Astaldi. So I think that the net the debt to equity ratio will be far better by this operation. The cash that is coming in and the cash generation from the combined entity, and also the reduced absorption from the general expenses towards the towards the EBITDA before general expenses will be better. You have to consider that the cycle in this particular business is particularly long, and that we have, if you see in the balance sheet, we have more than 4 billion between credit to clients to work in progress. So these things are needing to be financed, and they are being financed by the activity that we have so far. It means that these things have to be releasing cash into the future. The actual velocity, it is not, we are not happy about that, but we are doing our best in order to shorten the cycle and collect this money, which is ours. So all this money that is there from the past. We have, unfortunately, a judiciary system in Italy which is particularly long, and around the world also arbitration cycles is pretty long. You see the arbitration in Panama, it is foreseen now the first result for 2020-21. This means that the cash collecting cycle is particularly hard and long. All these things are inside the balance sheet and are being financed by the actual cash generation for the activities. We didn't do any capital increase so far, and this is something which is significant. I mean, the change that is into the business plan to support this huge demand that is coming from the past, it is important. We are addressing this issue and to change this ratio, because we deem them important, as you do. And this is what we are doing with all the possible action that are on the table. There are no other option for us that to face the arbitration of Panama. We have to do it. It is something coming from the past, and we are doing it. The other projects that have created problems in the past, like FIBE or the others that were in the balance sheet of Infragilo when we purchased it, when we took over Infragilo, are still there. The judiciary system is still deciding. It's decided positively, but now, for instance, to make an example for FIBE, there is a commissario ad acta, which means a person which has been nominated by the tribunal to cash in physically the decision of the tribunal, and is taking additional time. So we cannot, unfortunately, do much more than stress this up to the limit, but we wait for positive results even in 2019. So, of course, we cannot be bold and figure out whatever is possible inside the guidance, for instance, or inside our budget, because we do not want to make statements that are out of our possible direct control. And so we keep our figures very prudential in order to stick to the possibility of what we control. And this is one issue that we have. I think that these results coming from the past, of course, every day are aged and are ready, more ready than to be cashed in than it was the day before. But it is a matter of prediction, and now we can predict it into our balance sheet, depending from a judiciary system or from other people that we cannot, of course, control.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Hemant Dabke with Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Just a couple of questions. Regarding the Astaldi acquisition, you've mentioned about the potential support from banks that you're looking for to complete the acquisition. Can you provide some details of the quantum and kind of nature of that support that you're looking for, and on the 225 million capital increase that is being planned, are you expecting that to come from third-party investors entirely, or will the main shareholder in Cellini participate in a quantum? And on the Cellini business itself, the focus in this presentation seems to have switched more to the Italian market and the consolidation of that market, whereas previously you have mentioned about U.S. and Australia being your kind of main focus markets. Can you please explain the switch in strategy and like what the strategy for the U.S. and Australian markets will be going forward? And one final question, there have been several press reports of Cellini potentially being interested in the Spanish EPC business OHL. From this presentation, doesn't feel like you're looking beyond your domestic Italian market. Are you able to comment on those press reports at all? Thank you.
First of all, let me say something. We do not focus into the Italian market. Italian market represents less than 10% of our total turnover. And with the acquisition of Astral, the deal will be slightly modified, but still represents one of the market, and not, of course, the key market or the focus market. As of today, our focus and our main markets are U.S. and Australia and Middle East, and this is the area in which we want to grow. This is nothing changed about that. The Italian position, I want to remind to all of you, is that it is coming from the past, and we found it inside the book orders that were inside Impregilo, coming from the very past. I have to say that, for instance, the high velocity train is coming from 2001, and the slow pace of progress of these works maintain the position of the Italian market inside our portfolio and inside our revenues, but at the same time, it's not something we are looking for in particular. Let's say, of course, the Astaldi group having the most of the countries in Italy being the same that we have, it is important for us to consolidate that in order to have less problems that are in a streamlined operation in order to get a better profit from that. And but this doesn't mean that we want to focus on Italy, because we are not interested in Italy, but because diversification geographically has made the difference of the risk profile of the company, and we think this is something that we have to cure to and continue to pursue. So Australia, we think that there is a booming market. We are inside it. We want to build a very large company in Australia. We think that Australia needs us, and our competence and our skills that are unique in the world are needed for a country which wants to expand its infrastructure properties and network so quickly as the government, the different government in Australia wants to do. So I think that this is something that you will see in the next futures. We are pushing with very lot of attention and focusing our ideas and our attention into the Australian market, because it's exactly what we want. There are very large projects with highly sophisticated and complex, and they are very suitable to what we are, very competent people and doing very large projects. So this is exactly what we would like to do everywhere in the world. And we are doing this and this diversification to reduce the risk in doing that. So I think that this is very important. So U.S. franchise, of course, now it is not exactly where we would like to have it. I want to underline that managing a company with a large backlog is like managing a super oil tanker. It takes a lot of time in order to turn it, but when you turn it, then it's steady. So it's something that takes some time to do that, and it's important that everybody understand that there are not quick cuts that we can do in order to do that. So we are under process of managing the change which are needed to face the future. We, in the same time, have to face the eventuality that comes and the emergencies that comes into this situation. But what we proved is that the model is reacting very positively. I think that even with the things that we had on the table and to manage, which are very complex, I can assure you the company reacted very well. We had a very good and sound balance sheet, even facing all these things coming from the past. And the cleanup of the balance sheet means that next coming years will be easier to face, and maybe some of this write down that we made will be positively contributing for the future, because I don't say that the credit that we made such an haircut, 75% in Venezuela, are lost. We do not consider that. We do not think that they are lost. We think that it's sound and more safe to make this haircut to the credit to give a different perception of the solidity of our balance sheet. But at the same time, I will ask to the Venezuelan government, up to the last dollars that they owe us, with all the interests that are accruing it, even if they're not accruing into the balance sheet. So the credit and all the credit that we are cutting or that we are writing down are not cancelled. They are there, and for us, we are actively trying to cash them in as soon as possible. So I think this is important. So I don't see us as an Italian company, or I don't see us as an Italian player. Of course, being in Italy and then being with roots into this country, with history into this country, this is important. But our heart and also our activity, our brain, our competence is all over the world. So we're not concentrating or focusing in Italy.
Can you give us some clarity
for the last question, OHL. OHL, I've seen on the papers this news. We, of course, look at all the opportunity coming around into the as a routine. So whoever proposes us, we of course look at them interested, but this doesn't mean that there is any concrete interest on our channel now. I think that we don't want to make confusion. We are very focused on what we have under the table, over the table, and it's sufficiently large to keep our attention pretty aware. So let's say that now we have been faced in front of us this strengthening of our equity, which means finding the suitable partners. I can say that this will not be an increase of capital open to the market, not at the moment. So we have to find first somebody which wants to be a long-term partner with us. And after we have done that, we may be also more open to other contributions from other investors. But we have to have with us somebody which is willing to do the main part of it. And Astaldi will take all our focus. OHL is now not in our priorities, and it's not in our let's say aiming. We are not aiming at that. We are aiming very directly to Astaldi and to what is the possibility that this offer opens us.
Okay, can you talk a little bit about the kind of support that you are looking from the banks to complete the acquisition of Astaldi? Whenever that's completed in 2020.
Well, yes, yeah. the suitable support from the bank is to support the business plan that is will become the business plan of the combined entity. So, of course, we are looking to from the support of the banking system to support what are the requirements for the working capital and for the capital that is needed for the investment for the combined entity for their growth into the future. There are some projects that of a study that are underway, so we need the full support of the banking system to continue to finance the activities, and this is one. The second thing is the support of financial institutions, long-term oriented, that are needed to strengthen our position in order to afford this growth, which means that we have proposed into the offer for Astaldi at 125 million euros capital increase into the entity. And this means at the end the resulting shares will be 65% on our behalf. And this means also having 225 million to spend, to invest into this activity. I think that this is part of the necessity, that the needs that we are looking for is to strengthen our position and our equity in order to do that move, and to do it maintaining the same profile or bettering the profile, which is now the financial profile of sorry, Massimo was telling before the, about the rating. I think this is an important thing to look at. The ratios that are needed to maintain and to better our rating are continuously on our table, which means growth, size, and also cash generation, cash flow from the operation. So these things are continuously under our monitoring and are addressing the entire business plan in order to better that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
There are no more questions registered this time.
Okay. So thank you very much to everybody. I think we can close the conference call. Bye-bye.